All right, we're in Titus chapter 2. So I think we have Titus. We'll finish up Titus next week. And then the following week, we'll do Philemon. And then we'll be into Hebrews after that. Hebrews is going to take a while to get through, but we should get through these next few books. And it's kind of neat if you were here, and I think most everybody here tonight was here at the beginning. We started the New Testament. We get through those T books. We've gone pretty well. That's pretty great. You've done a marvelous job in your patience as we walk through this. So chapter 2 starts with the phrase, but as for you. So anytime you see that, but as for you, however or but or those kind of things, there's a transition. And so at the end of chapter 1, speaking against about the false teachers, Paul writes, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny him. This is the last verse of chapter 1. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So now he transitions from the teaching against the false teachers to Titus. But as for you, so this is going to be a chapter that is one that's going to be challenging probably for us, because it's one directed towards us and our responsibilities of being examples to others. He says, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And this is a chapter about being an example. Every one of us has somebody in our lives that we're an example to. Somebody that doesn't know God, somebody our own age or a little younger, somebody that's kind of in our sphere, that only you have a unique opportunity to witness to. Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, if you remember, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, let no one despise your youth. This is 1 Timothy 4, 12. But be an example to believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So he tells Timothy there's a wide range of areas that we should be examples in. And I would probably guess that all of us would, if we did a real honest self-evaluation, we would say we're pretty strong in some of those areas and could use some work in other areas. None of us are perfect examples other than Christ. And so he tells him to be an example in word. So how we talk, how we share things, and we know from James that our mouth can get us in trouble. We can say things we wish we didn't say, and my mouth gets me in more trouble than anything, for sure. In conduct, all right, so sometimes you can say the right thing, but your actions are the opposite. In love, that's self-explanatory. In spirit, we should exude the Holy Spirit, and that's love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. In faith, that's the one I think all of you in this room are very strong with. Your faith is evident to all those around you. You stick around for a Sunday evening Bible study after you've had a long day, and God honors that. That's a certain evidence of faith. And the last one is in purity, and that's just keeping our lives in a moral state. And he tells Timothy that the way to do this is to give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Philippians 3:17 says, Paul writes to the Philippian church, it's an interesting statement. He says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. I would love to be a pattern for others to benefit from and profit from. we've been having, I've been away from the school for a little while now, but there's three students that often call and come out with a list of questions to ask and things like that. And I enjoy doing that. And I would love to be a better pattern of a good Christian man for them. It would be great because you realize when they call you or text you that people are really watching us. And they're not just watching us to see if we fail. There are some people that think we're pretty good Christians compared to what they see in their parents or their relatives and things like that. So that's quite a responsibility that we have, and we want to be that good pattern. And Paul says, join in following my example. Well, what's Paul's example? His example is he's going to follow who? He's going to follow Christ. And so by seeing Paul, then that's really where we want to be. We want to kind of be Christians. We want to be Christ-like. So when people see us, they see how Christ would respond in different areas. In 1 Peter 1, this is one for Don and Larry and I and the men in here, and it's talking to the shepherds of the flock. It says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now that word overseer is also what the word pastor means. The word pastor is to oversee. He says, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. So when the chief shepherd appears, who's the chief shepherd? Christ. See, we as pastors are under shepherds, overseers. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So other than your shepherd, there are two main responsibilities that I have. One is feeding you. That is the most important. But secondary, I should be an example to you. But all of us, we're going to find out, are to be examples to others in the congregation. And it's interesting, I got an unexpected hug from a man today that was just recently been starting to come to church and very hesitated for a long time. And God's doing something in this person because it's a person that's rarely shaking my hand, let alone give me a little hug. And so God's doing things. So we just want to be that. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, this is talking to everybody now. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. And so here in Thessalonica, this was a church under tremendous persecution. We talked this morning, read a couple testimonies about Berdu and Zwan and the Simons. They become examples to us, don't they? They empower us. Boy, if they can do that, maybe we don't have it so bad here, and maybe it's great. So Thessalonica was a church that was in a tremendous persecution, and Paul is telling them they've been great examples to those around them, even though they're going through difficult times. And then Jesus says this in John 13:14, if I then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, so that you ought to wash each other's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for this you were called, because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And there's no greater example than Christ Jesus. He's the best. And so that's where we got to read the word. And we have way too many pastors and teachers and preachers and internet superstars that begin their conversations with, well, I think Jesus would do this. We don't have to think about what Jesus would do. We can read the scriptures and know how Jesus responds and acts. And there's too many people who don't read their Bibles tell us what Jesus would do. Study the Bible. Study what our Savior would do. So he looks at Titus in verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And that word sound, we're going to see a lot. We've already read it a couple times. The word sound in the Greek means good health. And so you may have a doctor says, well, everything looks sound. Everything of sound health. So what we share brings health. That's from Proverbs 3. It'll be health to your bones and to your body. The word of God brings good health. So then he begins this chapter in which he categorizes different areas of examples. He starts with older men. Verse 2, older men should be sober. And that word sober doesn't mean not drunk. It has the reason why we use the word sober to be not drunk is because people who are drunk are not in their right mind. They're a little crazy. They're a little out. And there's very few things in this world that make me more uncomfortable than being around a drunk person. I just can't handle it. I don't like it. And it just bothers me a lot. But to be sober is just to be serious-minded, to be common sense. Reverent, that is just to be serious about the things of the Lord. Temperate is to be even-keeled, not one who's flying off the handle. Sound in the faith, there's that word sound again. Have a good example and healthy faith. In love and in patience. So older men are, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:29, the glory of the young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. And so I like that verse quite a bit. We sit around and we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 men in here, and we all got a little bit of gray hair, some more than others. But I would say that all 5 of us, except for Dave probably, cannot physically do the things we used to be able to do. Dave doesn't stop. But wisdom-wise, we'd like to go tell our 20-year-old to shape up. We'd like to go tell our 30-year-old to get his act together. When our hair wasn't gray, we were not very wise. But as we grow, what we cannot give physically, we can be examples, especially to young men like Brian and Richard and others, Matt Teal and others who are in this church, who are very important as they start their lives out. Young fathers, Willie and others, great examples. And I will tell you that you 4 are rock solid. Verse 2, the older women, we don't have any of those here, but if you know any, you can talk to them. The older women, likewise, be reverent, the same thing, in behavior, not slanderers, all right? And that is, if you really study your Bible, there's a lot of things in the world today that you're not allowed to say about women, that the Bible says about women. And if you were really honest about it, the Bible talks about gullible women, talks about gossipy women, and you're saying, well, now you're being sexist. I'm just sharing scriptures with you. It's a tendency there. Not given to much wine, and teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young woman to love their husbands and love their children. So for the women of experience, they have a tremendous important responsibility to set the example for young women. And while God doesn't mention older men example to younger men, we just assume that's true. But for women, it is so important. And man, we've got a church full of great examples. It's interesting that I've noticed something. Maybe you haven't noticed it, but it's become a very kind of normal thing for women to celebrate wine. Have you noticed that? I'm going to have me some wine today. I'm going to have my juice, and I'm going to have this. It's a very, and there's nothing wrong with it, wine for your stomach's sake. But they in the media, in television shows, they treat it as if, boy, just let's get together with our wine sisters and drink and forget the world. And it's interesting only in the light of this verse. And again, it says not given to much wine. So it doesn't say you can't have a drink of wine with your dinner and at the end of the day, nothing wrong with it. But boy, don't make it your God. Don't make it the only way you get through the day. That's a bad testimony when women put on, oh, I need my wine to get through the day. You don't. You have Christ. And loving your husband. And when ladies get together, be careful that it doesn't become a husband bashing kind of a gathering. And that can happen too. Look, there's a lot to bash us about. But what an example to have a good marriage and to love your husband. And it's important. That's become another kind of woman empowerment. The way women empower themselves is to do what? Trash men. Men are this and men are that. We want to be careful. Set that good example. Deuteronomy 6:6. I really love these verses. Deuteronomy 6:6. These are really good verses. It says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And it just should be God all day long, morning, noon, and night, talking to everything you know about God, talking to them to your children and letting them know. Verses 4 and 5, now we're going to deal with young men. The young women. Verse 4, and they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. So he talks about now young women. They want to love their children, love their husbands, be discreet. That would be the same as the modest apparel in verse 5. Chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Again, those are some verses that you would, they're offensive to many today. Yes. Well, it's the words that are chaste and the words that are discreet, the words that are examples in what we talked about earlier, in your faith and your love and your conduct. Those all fit in, definitely, for sure. There's no requirement in the scriptures to be married, that's for sure. Yeah, so your examples in those other ways. And then if the Lord brings someone into your life, Does everybody know what the marriage is supposed to represent in Ephesians 5? Yeah, it's the relationship between Christ and the church. All marriage is supposed to. So when you are married, that's a great responsibility that becomes that example. And that's what it kind of means. If you are not taking that role of which the marriage is designed for, then you're really not being an example of Christ in the church. And so, if you read Proverbs 31, where it talks about the examples to others of that kind of virtuous woman, she goes and she buys a field, and she sells her wares. There's nothing in the scripture that is opposed to women having a job, or working, or being single. But when you are married, understand that the responsibility And it's up to you whether you want to quit your job or not quit your job. The lady in Proverbs 31 was able to bring in financial help and still take care of her children and still have everything done. But just remember, really what we're talking about, every single aspect of your life, you are somehow an example to somebody about Christ. A Christian wife should be completely different than a non-Christian wife. A Christian husband should be completely different. An older man and an older woman should understand their responsibility to the younger. The younger should be completely aware of their responsibility to those their age and younger. Look at verse 6, the same thing. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, in showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech, there's that word sound again, that cannot be condemned, that one who was an opponent may be ashamed, having evil to say of you. So God covers older men, older women, younger men, younger women, married, unmarried, widowed, not widowed. All of those things cover the same thing. In fact, in every position you are, you have somebody you can be an example to. Somebody's watching us. And so we just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, study your Bible, pray for those who need it, and understand when we leave our house every day, we leave as disciples of Christ, ready to set an example to whoever we come across. And sometimes it's better to be an example than it is to be right. Does that make sense to everybody? Sometimes we just got to humble ourselves and realize that that person, what are they going to see right now? Are they going to see my flesh? Or are they going to see my spirit? And so be that example. And then we get to the last example in verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Boy, this is a... If you'll notice things in the world today, the natural way the world works is they're opposite of these verses. So bondservants, basically, we're just going to call them employees, those who are students, those who are citizens under the law. We have people in authority over us. And God says, be an example, be well-pleasing. Verse 10, not pilfering. Does the old King James say pilfering in that verse, Larry? Verse 10? So what's pilfering? Stealing. It's taken a little off the top. We would say, is it not extortion, but it's the other word for it, where you're just stealing money. Purloining. Yeah, don't purloin. Yeah. So it just means that if you're being paid to work and the boss is not there and you don't do anything because the boss isn't there, you're stealing. You're pilfering from your boss. All right, if you cook the books. Remember how they did it in the Old Testament? They would do false weights because everything was done on scales and they would fake the weights, that kind of thing. So be an honest worker, showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of our God and our Savior in all things. And so, boy, what a great example or opportunity to be an example in school. Boy, if you're an obedient, good student that does your homework and is respectful to your teachers, you will shine amongst those students. You will stand out. If you show up to work every day on time, I tell you, I'm going to brag a little bit, just a little bit. I have great love and respect for my son, Nathan. It took him a long time to find this job. And I knew it was going to happen once he found it, because I know what had it with the other jobs. He will not miss a day. He won't call in sick, and he works hard, and they love him there. And I knew they would. And that's a godly Christian employee. When I went to Bible college, in Michigan. I went to a Bible college called Midwestern Baptist College, and I was married to Liz at the time, and so I would travel back and forth. I didn't live on campus, and I was a little older for being a student there. I started late. But the students there, there were certain businesses, and one for sure was a White Castle. Anybody know what White Castle is? White Castle is a hamburger place, and they're little teeny hamburgers, but they're really good. But White Castle had an agreement with the school that they would only hire students from the school, and the school would guarantee them that they would get a good employee, and that they had an agreement to where our school was very strict. It had a demerit system, where if you didn't show up late for class, you got a demerit, and if you got so. If the person was late for work or disrespectful to the boss, without any question, the boss could call the college and they would get a demerit for what they did at the job. But White Castle found out that they were the best employees ever. They'd show up on time, they would work hard, they were worked. And anybody who'd own a business, it's hard to find good work these days or good employees. And so, but they used these verses to show these young men. And most of the people at this college were going to be pastors. It was mostly a pastor kind of college. So that's what we want to do. So all of those different examples, and they fit every one of us. We all have somebody we're submissive to. We all have either we're old, we're helping the young, or we're the young helping our peers, or we're employees, and all of those things. Why? Because it brings it all into verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So he brings it to this one, everybody, just live seriously for God in this present age, sober and righteous, denying ungodliness and denying worldly lusts. And that's that. Submit to God and resist the devil. We don't want to love the world or the things in the world. 1 John 2 says, 1 John 2:16 says, all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And you can guarantee if you get yourself into moral trouble or get yourself into bad examples, it's one of these three things. It's the lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, or your pride. That's the issue. Those are the three things. And so God says, deny those things. And then he says in verse 13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, one of the first verses I ever memorized in Awana back in the 80s, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This goes all the way full circle back to this morning's message. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. If you set your affection down here, you're going to get mad when you're not treated fairly. You're going to be kind of self-centered and selfish, and you're going to lose the fact that we are to be examples for Christ. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him. If our enemy's hungry, we feed him. If he's thirsty, we give him drink. And we live completely separated from the world, setting our affections on Jesus, knowing that he's coming back someday, knowing that all we talked about this morning and his victory is. So therefore, we look unto Jesus, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous or passionate for good works. So we have a passion to do good things, to serve him and be an example. And then he closes this very simply. Speak these things, let people know. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Pastor Rick, I listened to his sermon this afternoon, and he talked about this in his sermon this morning. We don't like to rebuke. We like to exhort. I'm an encourager. I like to encourage. But sometimes we need to rebuke. Sometimes the older men and older ladies need to rebuke a little bit the younger till they learn. And I like to let the Word of God do that for me. But there are times when we need to. And Pastor Rick was preaching on, do you remember Simon the sorcerer? When he went and said to Peter, I want to teach me how to do this. I want to buy that power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter rebuked him sharply. And sometimes when someone gets it wrong, we have those verses ready. So this is what we want to do. This is what we're passing on, because not only are we to be examples, but we want the young people, the Christophers and Courtneys of the world, to in the next generation, when your hair is a little gray and you're getting ready for your daughter's wedding, that you're leaving that example to them, and they'll pass it on from generation to generation. And so every one of us is in this chapter somewhere, but we all have the same responsibility. Be example to those who God randomly places in our lives that look at us for what's right in the Bible, or what's right in Christianity, or what's right in the world. Great responsibility, but it's kind of an honor and a privilege to be zealous of that good work. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this chapter. It's convicting, Lord. It's uncomfortable in some areas. But Heavenly Father, it's just so clear that if we are just examples in word and in deed, to the best of our ability, we're going to stumble. Sometimes we're going to fail in our call. But Lord, even that is, we can show people the mercy and grace of God. Lord, we are taught very clearly to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and look unto heaven, knowing that our Savior is returning someday. And until then, let us be zealous for the good work of being examples to others. In Jesus' name, amen.